Welcome to Christ Today. Heavenly Father, our heart is joyful and thankful to you as we celebrate life with you in this life and as we prepare for the next life. We pray for those who do not yet know you, and we pray that they develop a personal relationship with you through Jesus Christ, in whose name we pray. Amen. Jesus is the hope of this world. Through Jesus, we have eternal hope, the hope of an eternal life with Jesus in heaven. We pray for our hurts to be healed, and as we become aware of the evil around us, we pray for evil to be overcome. And there are so many lost souls to be prayed for. We pray that we are the appropriate witness to Jesus for the so many people as opportunities arise. And let us say, yes, Lord, to those opportunities, and we don't know when they come. Sometimes they are a surprise, and let us be prepared for whenever those opportunities to share Jesus with others do happen. So we rely on God to help us with our words and what we do. And whatever is in front of us, we rely on our Lord to help us. All in life, we have these things that we want to remember. There are plenty of things that go on, big events, little events. And when we have seen in our lives that big events have gone on, have we been prepared for the things that happen? Pretty much not. We pretty much don't have a good preparedness for the events in life. And I think it's a good idea to get just a little prepared, because in these days, we see that a lot can happen, and a lot already has happened. We've had surprises. Oh, surprises like the 9/11 event. Oh, when the two World Trade Center towers were destroyed. And so was a third building, Building 7. It was a 49-story building. And somehow that got taken down too. In these recent days, we have seen that great Notre Dame Cathedral in Paris, France, that it was burned. And there are questions for why do these things happen? What has gone on? And were any of these big events a surprise to you? Oh, yes, they were. They surprised us all. But you do have to wonder if they were part of a bigger picture, a bigger plan. And I would say that big events are indeed part of a bigger plan. Because we are in this battle here on earth, a battle between good and evil. And as our life goes on, we get to define things more closely, and we get to see that which is right in front of our eyes. And sometimes it's plain to see what has gone on and what to do about it. I think the big thing we can do is have compassionate prayer for those who hurt. So please do remember to pray for people who have been hurt in both the big events and the little events that we don't hear about. In Ephesians 6, we are told to pray without ceasing. Yes, pray without ceasing. When you hear something, pray about it. When it is in front of your eyes, pray about it. And just pray. That's what, often enough, we don't quite know how to say what we want, but the important thing is that we pray and have compassion for other people and ourselves and our situation, because we hurt too, just like other people do. Hurting people, that just is the way it is over the whole wide world. So just think about what those obvious needs are that people have. It's just so obvious that people have needs, and the hurting does not stop. Mostly, it gradually stops when that's what happens when we feel the pain. But the thing is we don't want to hurt, and we don't want to have other people hurt. So we pray for relief. And that's a part of praying for others that we all ought to be doing. Oh, if we have to wait until we feel pain, do we really need that to be a motivator? I think we can pray before we feel the pain. That's what I think. But there were a lot of us that have felt pain with these great big events that have happened in the last years. Like after 9/11, what happened? So many people were praying. It hurt so many people. And then, just in recent days, we saw the Notre Dame, a cathedral, fire. And we prayed for the people who were affected by that also. We pray for God's goodness through Jesus Christ to dominate the world. And we pray against evil. And there are plenty of evil events around us. That just is the way it is. The whole story of these events really hardly ever gets told. It's just that there's shock value to all these things. And then there's a reaction. That's been the way it's always been. I can go back, for instance, to 67 AD. There was the fire in Rome when Rome burned. And there's a question, how did that fire start? There's lots of ideas on that. Some people say it was Nero who started that fire, but at that time, the fire was blamed on Christians. Christians, it was said, started that fire to burn the city of Rome. And that started a wave of Christian persecution that continued for a long, long time, decades or centuries even. It just, people had that idea. The people in charge pointed to the Christians as being the problem. And so they got blamed, even if it wasn't true. And what happened with 9/11? 9/11, that was a big event in our life, where two airplanes caused three buildings to completely collapse. The two towers were hit. Building 7 was not, but it still collapsed. So that is said to have been caused by Arab terrorists or Al-Qaeda. Well, we certainly do wonder, because it was a pretty big thing to happen. Oh, just like Notre Dame Cathedral is a big event. Was that an accident? Well, that's a really good question. I know that a lot of commentators are calling the burning of the Notre Dame Cathedral to have been caused by an electrical fire. But I think that concept should be really examined. On the television, there was a man who came on to talk about the Notre Dame Cathedral. It was the former chief architect of the Notre Dame Cathedral, and his position was also something like the fire marshal. Well, a few days after the fire, he went on television and he talked about what steps had been taken to make absolutely sure that an electrical fire could have happened. He talked about how the outlets were doubly protected in case of a fire, and that it could not have happened in his mind. He just doesn't see it. And there's also the question of why were there two fires that started at the same time in two different parts of the Notre Dame Cathedral? See, that's just about impossible, really. Besides that, that cathedral at all times has two men on duty to watch for any trouble there, including fire. So It's just still a big question of what really did happen. That chief architect, like a fire marshal, his name was Michel Pico, and he talked about it being just impossible for that fire to have happened because of all the safety measures that had been taken. And yet, there was a fire. And what does that mean for Notre Dame Cathedral, which is the famous symbol of Christianity, to have been burned? What does it mean? Well, it reminds me of the Twin Towers in New York City, because they were well known and the famous symbol of America. Also, it was about the day after, maybe it was 2 days after, the 9/11 event. The chief architect was on television, and he said that the two twin towers could not have been collapsed by an airplane fire, that it was impossible, and that each tower had been designed to withstand multiple airplane strikes, and that they would still stand. And yet we know what happened. They collapsed into a heap. So the impossible happened. So what do you think could have been at work here? Well, it's so easy to just say it's the battle between good and evil, and that's really what I see. It was a battle between good and evil, and we must always pray for goodness to prevail, that God will intervene in the events of our life and our society, and we ask God for His protection and His provision as we go through life. We must realize that it is not our own strength which protects us. It is by God's strength and by God's mercy that we are protected. And as a part of that, we submit ourselves to His will while we can still stand with righteousness. It's His righteousness. We stand with and for His righteousness. That's what we do. And we ask Him to take care of us because we are His. And that is our relationship. It's a covenant relationship that goes back throughout the Bible history. And we can clearly see it when we read the Bible. There are people who have that covenant relationship with God, and they are protected. So it becomes so clear that through the Bible that God protects His own. And that's something, a position that we want to be in. We want to be God's own and have His protection of us, because He will honor the covenant relationship that He has. Now, that's one really good reason to read the Bible. It's because, well, isn't it obvious that there is a strong relationship between God and His promises and those which He makes with and between us? When we are His, He watches after us. And some of these promises are for in this life, and some of those promises are for in the life to come. That's Bible. And we know this truth because of the examples that have been given. And sure, we can hear people who say it, and it's good to listen. It's good to hear what other people say and think. And it's good to read it also. It's good to study it. And that will build our confidence as we see the truth of God's Word continuing. Really, it continues eternally. And also, it is good for us to see that our prayers are answered. We see also God's love for us, and we see God's gift to us of Jesus, and how the sacrifice of Jesus paid for our sins. And there is a part of life where we just look forward to the material things in life, but as those things get hurt or destroyed, our perspective changes. Like if a fire happens or a natural disaster comes along, we realize that things can be lost, but our eternal relationship with God cannot be lost. And that we want to be concerned for our spiritual awareness, our spiritual life. So that's a part of what just plain goes on in life. And it goes on with the things that are difficulties or tragedies or disasters in life. And just look what happened with the Paradise Fire. It was a big event, and it got lots of attention, and lots of people prayed, and lots of people were protected, and lots of people had blessings because of the events of that fire. It's not even like we really even know the whole story about any of it, because God knows, and we know that when we belong to God, He will take care of us. The big disasters, they can turn us to God, or in some people would have a disaster that would turn them away from God too. It all depends on what your world view is. Because there's lots of views in our world, and there's different interests spiritually. There's a good side and a bad side. And we see people have recognized that in the past. And I think of President Dwight Eisenhower in his farewell address in January 1961. He said, "Beware of the military-industrial complex." And that then became a phrase that many people used in the world. And he gave that speech. It was probably a 10-minute speech. But so many people listened to it. And we think of the 8 years that he was president and Dwight D. Eisenhower, and we can realize that his views would have a lot of understanding. And he told us to be aware of our future potential problems. He started out that address saying that in the world there was an ideology which was hostile to the United States. And it was not only hostile, it was atheistic and ruthless and insidious. And that our liberty in the United States was at stake. It was under threat because of the evil that it faced. I'm going to call it evil because to me it was. So we know that there are forces opposed to our nation and opposed to us. They are economic and political and spiritual forces which we have to deal with. And so, like he said, beware of the dangers of the military-industrial complex, because things are not as they appear, and they have become even more difficult to see in the years since then, like now. And what did he say would be necessary to overcome the difficulties that they were facing at that time? It was an alert and knowledgeable citizenry. And when I talk to people and find out how alert and how knowledgeable they are, it concerns me, because a lot of people don't even pay attention to things which are obvious. He also said that we as a nation did not want to mortgage the material assets of the future and of our children and of our grandchildren. So he talked about that too. Getting into debt, that's really what it amounts to. or having obligations which had to be met, which had to be paid. And that's what President Dwight Eisenhower warned us about. But I think we still need that same warning. There are forces of good and evil that are at war, and which side is going to win? Well, ultimately we know who wins, but we have to stay in and represent God and His truth in the meanwhile. Our position today has plenty of things that threaten it, and a lot of it is the spiritual strength or weakness that is all around us. Yeah, just look at the leadership of our nation. There is a certain element of rottenness and corruption at every level of our higher government, like our all the government. It's inherent in our political system, and the way that I see it is that there's so much corruption, and a righteous person would not be able to work for a corrupt boss. And so, because I say that, because people want to tell me that it's not rotten all the way from the bottom to the top, that there's a lot of people who are solidly decent people. And perhaps that's true. And they are simply protected from the evil that is around them, and they're unaware. But I think there's plenty of people who just get pulled into the pattern, into the system, and they go along with it. Very difficult when we have this corruption at the highest levels. Think of Brennan, Clapper, and Comey. It was John Brennan, the director of the CIA. It was James Clapper, who was the director of the National Intelligence. And it was James Comey, who was director of the FBI. Those were the top people. And after Comey, there was Andrew McCabe, and he was the acting director of the FBI. Oh, we have to mention Hillary Clinton. She was the Secretary of State, and she erased, or what's it called, bleach-bitted, the 33,000 emails that she didn't want anyone to see, and she smashed with her hammer the Blackberries that she used. Oh, there's something going on there, and some people would call it obstruction of justice. Of course it is. Well, you know, there's another thing that happened at Hillary Clinton's home. There was a fire which burned cases of official documents. So what happened there? Well, it's just an unknown thing. There's lots of events and lots of people who we can question, even if we don't know for sure. There are questionable things that happen around them. And we really don't see the whole picture. And perhaps that's even good that we don't. But we know that there are pieces that need to be brought to light. Have you heard of Tom Fenton of Judicial Watch? He saw many indicators of corruption or lies in the top levels of government, and through Judicial Watch, he filed a lawsuit in federal court which caused records to be opened and sworn testimony to be given by Bill Priestaff of the FBI, who had been in charge of that Trump situation with the Russian collusion investigation. And also, he was in charge of the Hillary Clinton investigation. Well, his sworn testimony showed that there was lies and collusion going on at the highest levels of government. So, how long has this been going on? Well, corruption just doesn't start. It has a history, and there's plenty of corrupt people at the very top levels of government. we have to be very aware that spiritual corruption is pretty dangerous, and we don't want it to happen. But it does go on all around us. Look at the corruption, just to realize that it's a part of the evil, and we want to be a part of the good. That's why I say look at it. Most of us don't realize how entrenched it really is. There is so much corruption. Let's see. I talked on Christ Today just a little bit ago, a few weeks back, about the last 100 years, how there have been real amazing correlations between a political or a judicial decision and that it obviously went against the will of God. And what happened after that? There was some kind of a disaster that happened. Especially, there were lots of natural disasters. And they would befall some part of the United States after a decision was made. So there were consequences for what we do, and that should be obvious when you look at the natural disasters, natural problems. Well, this can be a parallel to the same principle can be a parallel to what is going on in France with the Catholic Church. You see, it was an event in Paris, France, with the Notre Dame Cathedral, and there is videotape footage which shows this. You can see it. Just look it up on YouTube. It shows the head of the Catholic Church, Pope Francis, that he went to South Sudan and he met with Islamic leaders there. And each of those Muslim or Islamic leaders, they put their hands together and gave the Pope a little head nod. And Pope Francis, each one in turn, he got onto the floor and kissed the feet of each one of those Islamic leaders. Yeah, Pope Francis, he did that, and he stood up between each person, each of those four Muslim people. Well, I'd say that was not good to bow down to a false religion. And we've always been shown in the Bible that we do not kneel down or bend down to false gods. Yet this is really what Pope Francis did. The Bible gives us examples that we should not do that, but there was Pope Francis bowing down, kissing the feet of those Islamic leaders. That happened on April 15th. And so add 3 days to that. What happened? You know, I got that wrong. It was April 12th. April 12th that he bowed down and kissed the feet of those Islamic leaders. And then it was April 15th, 3 days later, that the Notre Dame Cathedral burned. And so that's an example. There's lots of examples of this kind of things happening where there is a cause and effect relationship. And it's good if you look around and see what they are about, because each one of them can affect our life in a big way. There is a cause and effect in our world, physically and spiritually, and politically and economically, cause and effect. And we want to be on the side of right, which is the side of God, and represent God well. There is, just be aware of the consequences of our actions and our thoughts. And I don't know why it is that we so often think we can do something and get away with it and have no consequences. It's just that we have consequences, it's just that we don't see what they are right away, because that's not where our attention is drawn to. But it's true. It applies to our physical world and our spiritual world and how we interact with people and things. Yes, so be aware of that one. Well, for a few years, the United States has been putting missiles very close to the Russian border. The situation is not complicated. We just get friendly with some neighboring countries, and we put missiles into that country's arsenal. And these missiles are standard missiles, but they are also capable of having a nuclear warhead. It just takes a few hours to change the warhead. So this argument is a pretty big one that the Russians give us, and they say we, the United States, are arming Russia's neighbors who could be one day an enemy. So it's a real argument, and we ought to be aware of how Russia views this threat seriously. And the United States is the cause of that threat, because the United States is taking the initiative to help the other countries to have missile defense of their lands. But it is right on their border. So what does Russia see? Russia sees that the United States is preparing to make war with Russia. And even that the United States is preparing to have a first strike surprise attack on Russia. Now, we don't believe that, but just think how it looks. It looks like it certainly is possible. You have to look at the threats that Russia considers, and this is a threat. They've been telling us these fears that they've had for a long time, but the United States says, don't worry, these aren't nuclear, but we know that the warheads can be changed out to become nuclear in a matter of hours. So Russia thinks that the United States is preparing to attack Russia. Not so good. And so Russia has been developing plans that would counter that. You've heard about the hypersonic missiles that Russia has been building that would go right past the United States defenses around the southern pole and the south border of the United States. So there have been presentations that we can listen to, we can look at, if we just take the time to do it. And there, one of the things that has been presented is that there is a great big underwater submarine, which really is a bomb. It's a great big bomb that is in the form of a submarine, and it is all operated remotely. So Russia has this and is working on deploying it to the coastlines of the United States. And if this was exploded off the coast of the United States, it would create a tsunami. It would create a wall of water 1,500 feet high. That's a lot of water. And sure, it would go right past the coast and a ways inland, and it would cause so much destruction. So, are we concerned? Are we, the United States people, are we concerned about what could happen? It's a good idea to, because things that are possible have a strange way of just plain happening. Of course, we can't predict it. It just might happen. And should we be concerned? Yeah, I suppose we should. What's wrong with a little concern? A little bit of concern. Now, I say concern, yes, but not worry. Don't have worry. Just have concern and see what a few steps that you could do to to make it easier if there was a problem. There's lots of things that could be problems. This Russia thing is one thing. Oh, and then there's been in the news a bacteria that has been a concern. And it's spreading. It's going, let's see, how many states? 11 states, no, 12 states in the United States where it has been identified. And it is also in other countries like India and Pakistan, Spain, Venezuela, and South Africa. And of course, I just said the United States. It's a bacteria. And it's pronounced, it's the Candida auris, which is abbreviated CRS. And to say that is pretty much the sound it makes, Candida auris. And this has been a recent discovery. Oh, let's see. 2009 it was discovered. And now it is worldwide. And like I said, 12 U.S. states have identified it. Now, this is a very serious one because when there have been people who have been put in a hospital with that virus, with that bacteria, they have to destroy, gut the room of everything, ceiling tiles, the bed, the floor panels, everything, because it is so contagious and it's spreading. What does that mean? We will see, won't we? I don't know, but all these things are a concern. What can we do about it? I think the same things that we do about everything is eat right and get plenty of rest, and that's just about what we do. That's what the people who work in the hospitals do. They eat right and get plenty of rest. And that bolsters your immune system, and that is exactly what you want to do. Oh, and I think using prescription drugs is not so good either. Those seem to be weak in your system, but they do have a real function for what they are designed for, and they work well. Another thing that weakens your immune system is alcohol. So you just be careful and take care of your body. Get a little exercise and don't smoke. All these things are what we do to stay healthy and stay alive and resist those bacterial infections. I know you already know this, but it's just a reminder about how to stay healthy, because sometimes we just need a little redirection. Our physical life is important because there, when we are alive, we get to spread the good news of the gospel. And we do that when we're alive. That's just a part of life. And so we want to do what God tells us to do. That's a part of agreeing with God. To disagree with God, you know what that is. That's kind of like a rebellion. And we don't want to have anything like rebellion in our life. Nope, not at all. Because a rebel goes into the lake of fire eternally. So consider these things and study the Bible for yourself. It's all there. There are examples, and it's often we have to read them to make a good impact on our minds. But look it over. Read the Bible or listen to it on audio. It's all a good thing to do. Sometimes we listen to people and they help clarify things. Listening to Christians is always good. Yeah, but I know that there's some radio programs, I'm sure mine too, that where the people have given a little wrong information, and we have to be aware of that too. Be aware. As we are kind to one another, be careful and be wise. Don't get hurt. Do be careful. Remember that everybody is, as a human, we can all make mistakes. And that's why I say, study the Bible for yourself. You study it. You be responsible for your own eternal destiny. Make sure it's heaven and not hell. You don't want to make any mistakes in that area. But do verify what you hear I know that I've heard things that were not correct when Bible things have been cited. So you just be careful and do your own study. That's important. You might have to verify your information. I know I've found things on, the computer, Snopes. And they are not always correct either. They think or they express that they are giving you verified information. Well, I can tell you, they make mistakes too. It's just one of those things. So be aware. Be aware of information that is both true and untrue. Have discernment in every area of your life, and certainly have spiritual discernment, because you want to get into heaven, and that's what it takes. Matthew 7, chapter 7, there's a part about the wide gate leads to destruction, and the narrow gate leads to eternal life. And we are told to be aware of false prophets. So we want to go to heaven, and we want to enter in through that narrow gate. And so what do? We have discernment, and we use it. Like Matthew says, he says, do the will of the Father. And that makes for the heavenly destiny. So there's plenty of people who have different ideas about what it takes to get you to heaven. And they cite different scriptures, and sure enough, they're a little bit different. How about the one that says, believe only and thou shalt be saved? Acts 16. So are the different passages saying something different, or is it about the same? Well, I see a lot of the sameness, because if you believe it in your heart, then the proof of your belief is your actions. So believe in your heart and have your actions line up with what you believe and understand. So we sure want to be saved from hell's fire, don't we? It's just, yes, of course we do. And then remember that we want Christ in us. We don't want to have to do it ourselves. We want to have Christ inside of us, and that makes us a new creation, where we then get to the kingdom of heaven. So submit your heart and your mind to the will of God through Jesus Christ. I think that's what the whole goal is, and then we live a transformed life where Jesus is living inside of us. And then it's not about what we do, it's about Jesus doing it through us. Galatians 2. Paul says that it is not I who live, but it is Christ who lives in me. And isn't that what we really want? We want more than we can do, because we all know every one of us has shortcomings and sin. So let the Christ live in us and through us. I know sometimes that's not always easy, because there's lots of people in the world, and some of those people are not easy people. Sometimes they even hurt Christians on purpose. And yet, we're told to love them. So love is always, I think, it's always done in different ways, but you look after what is in that person's best interest. And to me, the best interest is eternal life. And so we pray for those people to receive Jesus. That's what we do. It's about that personal relationship with Jesus Christ. There's all sorts of distractions in the world that take us away from, well, from Jesus. And well, just look at the news. The news or the gossip, all those are things that are distractions, so our attention does not go to our eternal life. Sure, we can look at the news and see the king of Thailand. he married his lead bodyguard. Wow, a woman. And so that was news. Maybe that was gossip. I'm not sure. But there's plenty of going on in the world and in the United States. And we do want to be involved in the community around us, but we want to make the right decisions about our neighbors and how we interact with them and make sure we're doing right. And yes, there are some interesting news pieces in the world, and we pay attention and they get our attention. That's just the way it is. But our focus must be on God. And yes, we do all have distractions all around us, distractions of every sort, with the news media, with relationships, with paying taxes, with concern about people's phone use, maybe, on smartphones and the electromagnetic waves, or what about car accidents, or what about our children staying safe? See, all these things, they are our concerns. And we have all sorts of money concerns. Oh, yes, we do. We have health concerns. So these are all concerns, but in a way, they are also distractions, because they are things which take us away from our relationship with God through Jesus Christ. Just to be aware of it, because we want our focus to be on Jesus. And yes, of course, we are a part of the world, and we live in the world, and we have to be aware of what's around us. But we choose to pay attention to God as we live. That's what I think, that's what I want to do. So pay attention to the things that are spiritual, the things of God. And yes, the things of this world will work themselves out as we put God's understanding before us to see how to deal with the events in the world. Examine where your time goes, where your money goes, where your attention goes. Does it go primarily to the things of God, or does it all go to things that you want? Well, that's one of those things which you get to just figure out, because your relationship with God through Jesus Christ and with the Holy Spirit is eternally important. It makes all the difference for everything. So do not neglect that one. Figure out how the situations or the problems that you face, how they relate to this or with that. It's all a part of life experience. And as we live, we get better and better at figuring it out. It's practice. We just try to discern this thing or that thing, and we just keep trying. A lot of it is experience, and so that gives us the ability to figure it out and really to do better next time. And that's a part of what life is about, following God through Jesus Christ and with the Holy Spirit. I don't know why I'm thinking of Revelation 2. Yes, I know why. In Revelation 2, there's a passage that says, God searches out the mind and the heart, and he gives to each according to their deeds. So we search things out and we get a better understanding. God looks at our heart and our mind. He searches them. And you know that God knows what you think and what you feel. So keep your heart and your mind pure. And that will reflect on the deeds, the things that you do. That's what we want. Well, that's surely my opinion. That's what I want. So give it some consideration, I think. Look at all the things we are faced with. Yeah, we're faced with the news. Like I said, the King of Thailand, that's one. We're faced with situations in our own country where things are on the news and we say, how could that have happened? But it does. So just try to understand God's perspective on it all before you just make a decision about what's going on. You want to think about the eternal relationship you have with God and heaven. So I think again of Matthew chapter 22, right around verse 38. It's love the Lord your God with all your heart and your mind and your soul, and love your neighbor as yourself. Aren't those good things to aspire to? That's what we want. Besides, God says it's his great commandment. And if it's God's great commandment, I think we should pay attention to it. I sure does. And we do reach out to God in Jesus' name and ask for help and ask for even forgiveness and everything else. We have to think of our needs. Yes, our eternal needs. Our eternal needs are, of course, spiritual. And we also think of the things that are needed in this life and right here on this world. Because the Bible tells us there's some big things coming, like famine. And famine is one we can certainly do something about. We know we're going to need food in the next few years because we need food to live. So you get to figure out what kind of food you would like to have for the just-in-case situation. I know for me, I can't buy that expensive food, like dehydrated meals and fruits and such. I can't buy MREs, they're just too expensive. But I can buy the basics, which are whole grains like wheat. And rice is a good one too, white rice. Not brown, but white rice. And then the other basics. If you'd like to get my list, by all means, send me a stamped self-addressed envelope, and I'll send you my free preparedness pamphlet, which will help you to think of the things that you might want or you might need. Write to me, John Stephenson, at P.O. Box 7222, Chico, California, 95927. John Stephenson, P.O. Box 7222, Chico, California, 95927. So, preparedness, I think, is quite an important part of what we do, how we live. And so I like to urge people to do some preparedness for that just in case. And we know the Bible tells us to prepare for that just in case. There's Matthew chapter 24 and Mark chapter 13 and Luke chapter 21. They all talk about what will happen before Jesus returns. And we take it that it's right before. And what it talks about is famine and pestilence, which is disease, and wars and rumors of wars. So we know we can do something about famine, and that means we save or put food aside for that just in case we need it. All these things the Bible does say is going to happen. Now let's do something about it. There's things we cannot do anything about, but there's some things we can do, and that is with food. That's the way I see it. And some people think we are at that time right about now, that we're about ready to go right into that end days scenario. The Bible does describe it, and there are people who would say, oh no, it's years away, not in my lifetime. But look at what's going on. You can really see that it just might be in your lifetime. In fact, it might be next year or next month. There are reasons to believe that that's true, and there's also reasons to question if that could even be true. I really don't have a feeling on it for what the time frame is, except that I know that it could be quick, and that's what we pay attention to. It could be quick, And therefore, we want to do something about the possibilities and get some food, get some supplies, because nobody really knows when a disaster will hit. That's what we want to just guard against, is the trouble that would come if there was a great big trouble. And that's life. Life is dealing with troubles. And locally, there's so many people who are dealing with the effects of the Paradise Fire, and that's trouble. And such a disaster could occur again, and we know that each one of us has reason to prepare. So for my free preparedness pamphlet, send a stamped self-addressed envelope to me, John Stephenson, P.O. Box 7222, Chico, California, 95927. And if you want to listen again to any broadcast, please go to www.christtoday.org and hear another message or the same one again. So, I'm so thankful to have everyone listen. And so thank you for listening. And until next week, may you walk with God and may God walk with you.